Chapter 15. The Everyday World of Quantum Reality. The idea of an objective reality without an observer is meaningless because it can never be experienced. Human experience is the inescapable basis of science, the empirical raw material from which our ideas and theories about the nature of the universe are constructed. To posit a world that exists independent of human experience, that is, without an observer, is a mental abstraction that has no traction with the actual experiential world in which we live. A world independent of our experience of it, as seductive as it may be to imagine such a world, would be a world forever inaccessible to us, and thus unavailable to our scientific exploration. Thus, such an imagined world is not a world that could ever be considered real to us, for the ability to experience is a key criterion of reality. Seen psychologically, being transfixed by or fixed in the viewpoint that there is an objectively existing world can be compared to a rigidified complex within the human psyche. This ossified complex repetitively recirculates the same thought into materialization over and over again. In our example, the idea of an objectively existing world. The insights of quantum physics, which can be likened to living information, are like a metabolic antitoxin designed to dissolve the calcified complex and restore elasticity to the psyche, dissolving the idea of an objective universe in the process. Seen as a whole system, our collective psyche has become one-sided, and quantum theory is a compensatory medicine secreted by the psyche in an attempt to return us to a more fluid and balanced state. What seems to be an independent universe is in actuality a play of appearances, a persistent and persuasive false imagination, an unexamined and clearly mistaken metaphysical assumption. The image of an objective world appears to and within the mind, arising from the mind itself. But an actually existing objective world independent of an observing consciousness does not, and quantum physics irrefutably proves cannot, exist in reality. Our situation is similar to seeing a mirage of water in the desert, and either thinking and fooling ourselves that the apparition of water exists as actual water, or seeing through the illusion to realize that the image of water is in fact a magical display of our perception, not separate from our mind itself. Another example is a kitten reacting to her reflection in a mirror, believing she is observing a second kitten separate from herself. The kitten is reacting to her own projection of herself that appears on the surface of the mirror, as if her reflection objectively exists and is other than herself. In becoming conditioned by her own energy, she mistakenly thinks she has nothing to do with creating and energizing that to which she is reacting. Unless her reflection is recognized as her own face, her reactivity can go on ad infinitum. Our quantum powers of co-creation play out in so many different areas of our lives that we oftentimes don't even notice them. One example would be the course of events in the financial markets. As observer participants, how we collectively view the course of events in the markets influence how the markets manifest. And how the course of events in the markets manifest reciprocally influences how we, as observer participants, view these events. In a circular feedback loop, we are influenced by what we influence. This dynamic is symbolically reflecting the spontaneous creativity inherent in the quantum field, of which we are all a part and in which we all partake, whether knowingly or not. We, as observer participants, and the events occurring in our world, are parts of one unified quantum system. Though the world of the quantum seems so mysterious and remote, quantum dynamics are actually something that each of us experiences in our ordinary day-to-day lives far more than classical mechanics. Say, for example, I'm having an experience in my life and am interpreting it in such a way that I am utterly convinced of the real, true, and objective nature of what is happening. I then receive information which proves to me that what I had been thinking was playing out was not actually going on at all, but was only my projection, my own unfettered imagination filtered through my unconscious and overlaid on the inkblot of the world. This is analogous to thinking that the world exists in an objective way and then snapping out of our fixation on the external world and realizing the subjective nature of our perceptions. Our perceptions are just one arbitrary and limited way of seeing a multi-textured, ever-changing reality, and not reality itself. If we don't see through this illusory version of reality that our perceptions present to us as being the way the world is, we have then entranced ourselves through the power of our own mind. Another everyday life example with which we can probably all relate may further clarify this point. We are all multifaceted beings, having a multiplicity of selves that get evoked and show up at different times depending on life circumstances. Certain people elicit certain parts of ourselves. For example, some people make us feel seen and appreciated, as if they are calling forth a positive, healthy, loving, and creative part of ourselves. Other people might have more of a tendency to see our shadow aspects, the perception of which serves as a hook to attract their shadow projections onto us. When we are around them, we might feel ourselves burdened by their darker projections of who they imagine we are. We might even find that when we spend time with them, we find ourselves embodying and acting out the very shadow that they are projecting onto us. Whether the shadow within us evokes their projection or vice versa is a whole other question that has many similarities to the questions and issues inherent in the observer effect of quantum physics. Say, for example, someone is holding a negative image of who we really are in their mind's eye, which becomes like a lens or filter through which they see us. Projecting this shadow image onto us, they are, in essence, unconsciously calling forth a negative shadow aspect of ourselves to interact with. This shadow isn't caused by their projection. It is already within us in potential, but their projection increases the probability that it will manifest. Once we play into and act out this darker aspect of ourselves, this will confirm to them the objective truth of their shadow projection, as they now have all of the evidence they need to prove to themselves the rightness of their viewpoint. This will serve to further solidify in their mind's eye their negative image of who we are in a self-reinforcing feedback loop. All the while, they will be convinced that they are just relating to objective reality, to who we really are, without realizing their own creative participation in calling forth a reality that they imagine exists outside of themselves, a reality which is reflective of an unconscious part of themselves. This dynamic of concretizing in our imagination that someone exists in a certain fixed objective way is a reflection of the same deeper process that underlies how we become entrained and entranced into thinking that the universe objectively exists separate from ourselves. Quantum physics is the elixir that can, if properly understood, dissolve our unconsciously ingrained tendency to solidify others, the universe, and ourselves as well. Taking the insights of quantum physics into the realm of relationship would greatly impact the way we communicate with each other. For example, instead of focusing on the other person and telling them what they are doing, we can simply express what our experience is. Though the difference appears to be subtle, these are radically different ways of expressing ourselves in a relationship. When we tell someone what they are doing, we ourselves are under the illusion that what we see them doing is an objective fact, untainted by our own subjective filters. Expressing ourselves in this way opens up the door for the other person to disagree with us, maybe even resulting in an argument. On the other hand, if we simply express what we are perceiving, we are owning our subjective experience and not talking about the other, but about ourselves. How can anyone argue, though some people might try, with what our experience is? This shift in how we express ourselves then empowers the other person to do the same, creating a shared space for both people to freely express what they are experiencing without personalizing the other person's perceptions. How we see the world and one another affects the world, others, and ourselves. This process can be wielded consciously with a positive intent in such a way that can actually help people. An example would be when we are around people who, though they might see our shadow aspects, focus instead on our wholeness. When we are seen and appreciated in this way, it tends to evoke these more wholesome parts of ourselves to manifest, as if the other person, seeing the good and inviting the light-filled part of ourselves to shine, we're creating a bridge to enable us to actually step into the more positive aspects of ourselves. In spiritual terminology, this can be thought of as a blessing, in contradistinction to when we project the shadow, which can be thought of as a curse. It should be pointed out that we are only able to see someone in their wholeness if we are in touch with our own wholeness. In a positive feedback loop, seeing the other person's wholeness further connects us with our own, we can more deeply realize our own light as it is seen reflected through others. In the realm of interpersonal relationships, there are ever-present possibilities for us to channel the immense creative power of the quantum for the good of everyone. This quantum dynamic informs and infuses all of our relationships with everything, which is a process that is always happening in one way or the other. Another example, say there's someone we haven't yet met, but who knows many of the same people we know. If we ask these mutual acquaintances their opinion of this person, they might all describe him or her differently, sometimes in ways that seem totally opposite. For example, one person might describe the person as very open, another person might describe the same person as being very closed. I've seen this in intimate relationships too. For example, someone breaks up with their partner because based on their own subjective experience, their partner isn't able to look at their shadow and self-reflect. This supposedly unself-reflective person then begins a new relationship, and their new partner has a totally different experience of them, finding them incredibly self-reflective. Who is seeing correctly? Is the new partner simply blind to what the first partner was seeing, or is the new partner more enlightened, not needing to dream up their partner's shadow aspects so as to work out some unresolved part of their own unconscious process? Maybe both are in some way true. It is not a question of who is right. Rather, this situation points to the multidimensionality of who we all are, as well as the subjective nature of our perceptions. In other words, every person's image of this individual, however contradictory, could be accurate, relatively speaking. Not only is each person seeing potential aspects of the person, but what they are seeing is in some way a function of the filter through which they themselves give meaning to their experience. This is to say that their perceptions could be picking something up in the other person, or it could be a reflection of something within themselves. From the quantum physics point of view, the person's wave function collapses into a particular manifestation depending upon how the observer participant is interacting with the person in question. Who in actuality is this person they are all experiencing so differently? Does the person exist objectively as an object? Are their various subjective experiences of the person merely the other person's projections onto who the person actually is? Or does this person have a multiplicity of potential versions of him or herself in a state of superposition at each and every moment? And which shows up is dependent on the circumstances they are in, who they are with, and how they are being dreamed up. This is an example of how the underlying probabilistic reality that quantum physics is pointing at applies to the domain of human interpersonal interactions and continuously informs our day-to-day relationships. This makes me think of an experience I had many years ago. My longtime girlfriend and I had broken up, but we were still living together. It was early in the morning, and I was asleep. She wanted to ask me a question about something, but was afraid of my answer. As if fulfilling her fear, she literally woke up the part of me that indeed did have a problem with what she was asking. To this day, I remember my inner experience in that moment. Out of the multiple potential aspects of myself, one of which would not have had a problem with what she was asking, in the way she asked the question, she called forth the part of me that would confirm her negative expectation. The part of me that she had awakened reciprocally evoked and reinforced in her mind that this was indeed who I really was. She, in turn, then reacted to this part of myself, and we were what I call off to the races, once again recreating and playing out a problematic aspect of our relationship. Calling forth the part of me that didn't give her the answer she was looking for came with its own corresponding universe that seemed to support the objective nature of what was happening, as she now had all the evidence she needed to confirm the truth of her viewpoint. Our whole process was an expression of the quantum nature of the universe in action. Here's another example. Say someone, while hanging out with a friend, seems to act out their unconscious in a particular moment in a way that seems insensitive. And yet, by doing this, they actually catalyze their friend to have a deep insight or breakthrough around some issue they were struggling with. The question naturally arises, was the person who acted out their unconscious solely being insensitive? Or was their acting out in this seemingly insensitive way an aspect of how plugged in they are? In other words, Were they unknowingly picking up and acting out the unconscious in the other person and/or the field? Reminiscent of two-valued logic, we are used to thinking that the choice is either one or the other. They were either being unconscious and insensitive, or they were exquisitely tuned in. The four-valued logic of a quantum universe points out that these two seemingly contradictory opposites can both be true at the same time. In a superposition of states, the person could at one and the same time be both insensitive and highly sensitive to what on an unconscious level needed to happen to help their friend have their breakthrough. Most of us who have been conditioned to live in a classical universe might find it a bit challenging to hold both of these mutually exclusive opposites as being true at the same time. Interestingly, one of the chief features of the Philosopher's Stone, the symbol for an expanded consciousness, is that it represents a conjunction of a vast number of seemingly irreconcilable opposites. Another example, suppose someone in a family is emotionally upset and maybe even having psychological problems. In the old classical model of the world, this family member is isolated and might even be seen as having a particular mental illness localized inside of their brain. But from the more holistic view that is emerging from quantum theory, the person would not be seen as separate from the set of complex interrelations that comprise the family system, a system similar to a non-local field which itself is embedded within and a manifestation of the larger culture of society and the world. Instead of being treated as a separately existing objective entity that exists apart from the system, becoming what is known as the identified patient, it would be recognized that the person and their illness are expressions of an underlying disturbance in the family system, which includes the other family members. This is analogous to how in quantum physics the experiment, observed, is understood to be not separate from the experimenter, the observer, who in turn is not separate from the rest of the universe. One more example of the isomorphism between quantum physics and our everyday lives. Before an electron is observed, to quote Arnold Mandel, it is as if the electron were dreaming. In its state of open-ended possibility, we don't seem to have access to the electron's dream. This is parallel to what happens within our own subjective worlds when we are undecided about something and entertain multiple possible perspectives of events, people, or situations that arise within our lives. In our minds, we routinely exist in a state of superposition of possibilities when we daydream about a range of possible paths that we could take until we decide on one that we want to actualize. At the moment of decision, the universe that includes the path we have chosen instantaneously materializes, while the other possibilities dissolve as if they had never existed. Some quantum physicists even imagine that all of the potential paths we didn't choose, though not actually existing in this universe, exist in parallel universes. A mental world in which we are holding a superposition of simultaneous possibilities is quite a natural part of the subjective experience of being human. Our moment-to-moment, ordinary experience is infused with a quantum realm. Like any part of our everyday experience, we have become so thoroughly accustomed to our quantum nature that we oftentimes don't even notice it. It's just the way things are. This familiarity can mask the rich field of ever-shifting quantum possibilities that underlie the outer surface of our everyday experience. The fact that what we see and experience appears to be so definite and dependable can easily hide the fluid and multidimensional dynamics of quantum creation that inform and give shape to the apparent stability and reliability of our experience of the world. Since the subjective side of human experience is a domain that scientific exploration has traditionally and habitually eschewed, this profound parallel between fundamental aspects of our inner subjective realm of mind and the superposition of states of a quantum entity prior to observation is rarely pointed out. It would be a most fruitful venture to bring the out-there and far-out realizations of quantum physics in here into our own subjective experience of ourselves. It would be helpful in deepening our understanding of quantum physics, psychology, and ourselves to map the correlations between the quantum realm and our normal states of consciousness, as quantum physics is not only pointing out that the world we live in is quantum through and through, but that we ourselves are quantum entities in the flesh. Before a quantum entity is observed, it exists in a superposition of states, including any and all possibilities. This seemingly strange situation directly correlates with our day-to-day lives. Say something happens that is very challenging, painful even, to the point that it creates a real sense of being wounded. This wound could become a real problem, getting in the way of living our lives. Or it could become a doorway through which we can access our deeper gifts and potentials to help others with their wounds, a capability that we didn't know we had prior to being wounded ourselves. Both of these possibilities, having the wound manifest an obstacle/problem or opportunity/initiation, exist in a superposition of states within the experience itself. The experience does not exist objectively one way or the other. Just like in the world of the quantum, how things actually turn out depends upon how we dream them. I will give one final example that I imagine most of us can relate to. I know I can. Over the course of life, we have all been traumatized to one degree or another. When we become traumatized, a part of the wholeness of our psyche splits off, and if we aren't able to sufficiently deal with and integrate this dissociated part of our psyche, it can develop a seemingly autonomous life and quasi-independent will of its own. In psychological speak, these split-off parts of the psyche are called autonomous complexes, which due to their autonomy manifest to our minds as if they were self-existing entities. These ostensibly autonomous entities are quantum in nature in that they link the subjective and objective dimension of our experience. When we subjectively experience these seeming entities inside of our mind stream, depending on our awareness, we might experience them as objectively existing entities that are totally other than ourselves who are attacking us. Or our subjective experience might be to realize that we are, or have been up until this moment, unconsciously creating them. Whichever of these exclusive viewpoints we hold at any given moment becomes the case, which from the point of view of two-valued logic, excludes the other possibility from having any reality. The four-valued dream logic of quantum physics, however, points out that both possibilities could be true, existing in a superposition at the same time. This is to say that we could experience these entities as being objective and realize that we are creating them at the same time. It all depends upon where we are in all of this. In other words, who are we relative to these seeming entities? How they manifest, or what our subjective experience of them will be, depends on how we dream them. How these seeming entities manifest to us, do we experience them as happening to us from outside of ourselves, or are they our own doing, our own creation, which simply need to be recognized as such, and reintegrated back into our wholeness, depends on nothing other than our own awareness, just like in the quantum realm. These two apparently contradictory and mutually exclusive subjective experiences are an expression of the same deeper process that informs the wave/particle duality, in which, for example, how light manifests as wave or particle depends on how we observe it. It appears that how everything manifests, be it inner or outer, depends on how we dream it. Our species is suffering from a form of collective trauma. The signature of trauma is that though the traumatic event happens in time as an actual historical event, we then internalize it. This is to say that we unconsciously reenact the trauma in both our inner and outer lives. Compulsively repeating the trauma, through what is known as the repetition compulsion, which is our attempt to heal from it, recreates the very trauma from which we are trying to heal in an infinitely self-generating feedback loop, which can go on forever, both temporally and atemporally, outside of time, in the realm of the unconscious. A primordial form of madness, this is a precise description of the dynamic of the aforementioned Wetiko psychosis that our species is collectively acting out, writ large, on the world stage. This infinite regress only stops when we realize the role we are playing in creating our experience of being traumatized. Realizing that we are colluding in our own trauma through our unconscious reactions snaps us out of being a victim, while simultaneously introducing us to our intrinsic creative power to shape our experience. Whether or not we realize our own complicity in reconstituting our trauma is an inner correlate to whether we recognize that the outer world doesn't objectively exist separate from our perceptions of it. To say this differently, just like in the inner world of trauma, do we experience the outer world as completely separate, which it clearly is on one level, or do we realize our own agency, recognizing that we have an active hand in constituting our experience of the world and ourselves at each and every moment. Ironically, the realization that, as quantum physics explicitly reveals, there is no objective reality is so shattering to our classically conditioned sense of things that it itself is traumatizing. The aforementioned QPIT, quantum physics-induced trauma. This is a special form of trauma, however, in that it can so shake us up such that we irreversibly snap out of the malaise from which many of us have been suffering. In other words, once we sufficiently wake up and see through the illusion that there exists an objective world separate from our own mind, there is no going back to sleep. A door has opened, and it very much behooves us to go through it when it appears. QPIT is a unique form of trauma that, homeopathically speaking, where like cures like, heals our existential trauma. Encoded in this particular form of trauma is not only its own medicine, but a gift. The classical world's objective reality delusion simultaneously evokes and is evoked by the subjective experience of the separate self. The two reciprocally co-arise, mutually conditioning and reinforcing each other. The separate self is the context and framework in which all of our previous traumas endlessly recirculate themselves. In rendering transparent the illusion/delusion of the world existing objectively, quantum physics can potentially help us to see through the once convincing mirage of the separate self with which we have been unconsciously identified. The separate self can be considered to be the primordial trauma. The many new and eye-opening insights of quantum physics run counter to our intellectual habits and are also inconsistent with our implicitly accepted beliefs and understandings of the nature of reality. In the process of taking these new quantum ideas on board and installing them into the operating system of our mind, the most important place, or rather time, to try to apply them is our immediate experience in the present moment. The now moment is where we can engage with and activate the creativity that is intrinsic to the quantum realm. It is in the now moment when these new quantum understandings can be most powerfully translated from the realm of thought, intellect, and theory into the domain of our present experience of reality. As we continually deepen our understanding of the fluid, creative, and open-ended nature of our present moment experience, we become more of an engaged observer participant in the moment-to-moment universal dance of quantum creativity.